Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Question Reality Radio Show. I'm Priscilla Leona, and I'm producer and host of this show. And we are coming to you live. I'm just so glad I am alive with things going on the way they are. Live. I feel happy to say that. I feel motivated to say that I'm alive and that the people that I'm interviewing are alive too. So this is good. We're coming to you live from Los Angeles, California for 13 years. Coming up in May, we're at 12, but it'll be 13 in May. 13 years we've been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. Now, they are questioning your career reality, which a lot of people are doing these days because, you know, so many people are out of work and entertainment, the entertainment industry starting out anyway is a hard business, even when there's an abundance of work. But now everyone seems to be questioning their career reality. So this is why this is very important. You could also be thinking about pursuing a career in show business, or if you're already working in the entertainment industry and you're just interested in tips on how to elevate your career status, that's what our guests are going to do for you today. Now, the guests on our show include, got lots of different types. So they include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, working professionals, which include producers, directors, casting directors, agents, talent managers, screenwriters. We have PR agents. We have publicists. A lot of people get that confused between being a PR agent and a publicist. Very different. We have actors, comedians, singers, novelists, script supervisors, stunt people, celebrity makeup artists, entertainment lawyers, and the list goes on and on and on. I'm actually always looking for unique type careers. And I really want this year to be more about bringing behind the scenes people on, because behind the scenes people have the coolest jobs. You know, these script supervisors, they've got so many things that they can turn you on to. And what happens is a lot of times people come out here and they want to be the star, you know, the star actor, the star director, producer. But sometimes that doesn't always happen, or it may start to happen and you go, wait, I don't really like this job. I kind of like what the celebrity makeup artist does, or the script supervisor, or the production assistant. And so I love to have behind the scenes people on, because you can really find a totally different career than what you came out here to do. It may not just be for you. And there's lots of other cool jobs that you can find out about on this show. Now, if you missed any of our shows, here are three ways that you can listen to them. Number one, with our free mobile app. You can get them, obviously, at the App Store and the Google Play Store. You can listen to them directly from our archive page, which is, you're listening to us right now, LATalkRadio.com. Just look for our show title, Question Reality, under the, I think it says Channel 1, or not. It may just be one channel now. We used to have two. I think we may have one now. Or you can look for my name. Just go in the search box and type my name under the host tab. And the last one is via iTunes. We're on Google Play Store and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And we kindly ask you to do us a little tiny favor. Please subscribe to our podcast via the Apple Podcast. Who doesn't want a little subscription to their channel? We all want that, right? So we ask you to do that. Finally, most exciting part for a lot of you, if you want to be booked on our show or refer someone to be a guest to promote themselves, to showcase their projects or their products, or just to help people out by providing a career sage career advice, go to our official website. Now, gotta focus, because this is where it gets a little different. Now, our official website is called questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com. Not the website that you're listening to us now, which is obviously the latalkradio.com website. This is the website where we air the show. Again, go to questionrealityradioshow.com, and you can also see our annual guest schedule, and you might want to go there and take a peek to see who the upcoming guests are and check out their sites of a profession that you're interested in hearing about. So to submit or be booked on the show, again, go to questionrealityradioshow.com, click on the contact link, and it's a really, really easy and short hop, skip, and a jump to get there. We just need your name, your email, your title, and your website. And that's how we put you on the interview consideration list. So very, very easy. All right. Now, let's get on with the show. Now, we have had this guest on several times, and it's because he's so lovely and adorable and funny. He's cute as a little button. If he was a button, I'd sew him on my coat and keep him with me all the time. He's lovely. His name is Brian T. Shirley, and he is multi-hyphenated. He is a director. He's an actor. He's a writer. He's a comedian. He is a voiceover actor. I have to say that because you think actor just in film, television, but a voiceover actor. We're going to talk about that profession of his today. I want you to go to his website if you can right now. It's Brian, T as in Tom, Shirley, Shirley.com. He's also on Facebook, Twitter is Brian T. Shirley, and also on YouTube. So I would highly recommend that you go to his YouTube channel, because he's got some funny videos up there. You're going to laugh your A off. Well, you can say ass. I can say ass. You're going to laugh your ass off. He's really, really funny. And we have so much to talk to him about, but let me just give you just a very brief bio on Brian. He, again, director, actor, writer, comedian. He has toured the U.S., Canada, the Bahamas, and Japan for over 25 years. Now, as an actor, he can be seen in the short films The Senator, Dine with the Devil, Anguish, Two Go In, One Comes Out, a Sockumentary. Oh, my gosh. I cannot wait to talk to you, him, about this. Look, the title alone. Two goes in, one comes out, a sockumentary. You know what happens to our damn socks when they go into the dryer? One comes out. I really believe that in a parallel world, the socks are alive, and they say, you know what? We're going in together. One of you hide up in the top where they can't find you, and at least one of us is going to be free. We're going to escape. And I really believe that. I know it's crazy, but I think so. Now, he's also going to be in an upcoming short called Life with Darby, a feature film entitled Inside Ben, which can be seen now, actually, on Amazon Prime. And Brian just loves working. He's got his little fingertips in all kinds of pies. He just loves working on everything, especially music videos, which who doesn't love a music video? He appeared, now this is exciting. I did not know this until I read the update for this, but he had appeared in a band, an award-winning band called Ranky Tanky, who I had never heard of. But they, the video was called Good Time. And then what happens? Yay! Ranky Tanky won the Grammy Award for Best Regional Roots Album, also called Good Time, which is the video he was in, 2020. And that's exciting. We got to find out about that. As a voiceover actor, he's been in many web series, and he is also a narrator for audiobooks. His latest voiceover work was on an audiobook called Wine, which is now available on Audible. His recent work includes shooting a proof of concept for a political drama called The Third Party. And I got to tell you, most exciting news, everybody knows, if you've been listening to me for 13 years, you know I am obsessed with reality TV. I watch just about every single reality show except that Duck Dynasty thing. I couldn't get into that. No offense to Duck Dynasty, but just can't relate to that, or the Moonlighting one. But everything else, I try to watch it at least once. Now, you can see Brian, because this very exciting news means that Brian is in scenes of the hit reality TV show Real Housewives of Atlanta, season 13. Can you believe it? And it's airing tonight. Tonight. Oh, my gosh. I should have scheduled that on my DVR, and I completely forgot. I might have to do that while Brian's talking. I'm going to just, hopefully he keep going. I'm going to go, continue, Brian. Continue. And then I'm going to be airing, scheduling it. It's airing tonight on the Bravo channel. And we're going to find out how he got himself on that reality TV show. Now, again, go to his websites, BrianTShirley.com. Give him a little thumb up, Facebook, Twitter. We all need it. We all need a thumb. So, well, that didn't sound good. Oh, at least I didn't say a finger, but we all need a little thumb. So without further ado, let's welcome the one, the only, my fave, Brian T. Shirley. Yay! Woo! Are you there, Brian T. Shirley?
I'm here. How are you doing?
Cocktail? Where's your cocktail? You got your cocktail, your feet up?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good.
Why not?
Good, good. You got to be in a bodily position of comfort to do a radio show, I think. I really do, because we got so much to talk about. Better get comfortable. Now, first I got... Woo, honey, we have got to start with what is going on tonight. Real Housewives in Atlanta, cast up. Now, apparently you were, now I need you to explain this, because you were, apparently it says, cast member of Dinner Detective, and you performed a private show on the set of Real Housewives of Atlanta. So my question is, were you, what was the scene? Were you hired to perform for the cast, or were you hired to perform during a show? Tell us about that. How are you in this scene?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me back on. You're amazing. And so is Question Reality. And what's funny is I'm sitting here listening to you. I've got Housewives on mute because, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first time I'm seeing this episode. It's on right now. I'm on, right? I just saw myself. And I'm listening to you. And I'm at my dad's house, and I'm in his office, so the door's shut. And I can hear him in the living room. Every time I show up, he goes, there's Brian again. And now they're exposing me as the murderer, and they're dragging me off. So I just saw that. And now,
gosh, I hope you DVR'd.
Oh my God. I can't believe they showed this.
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, take us back. How the hell did you book this gig?
Here's how it works. I tried out for Dinner Detective, believe it or not, about 2 months after, no, 3 months after my heart attack. I was recovering, and I wanted to get back into, you know, doing things. So I tried out for these guys, Dinner Detective, and that was in late 2018. They accepted me. So I, you know, got into doing the dinner theater. This was while I was recovering and getting back on stage and everything. So I was doing all kinds of things too. And I would periodically do the dinner theater whenever they cast me. So September of last year, and we all know what COVID did to entertainment. It killed all of us for a while. And they said, look, we got a special booking on the Isle of Palms out in here. It's Mount Pleasant, Isle of Palms in South Carolina. Who can do it? And it's for Real Housewives of Atlanta. And I was one of the people that went, yeah, I can do it. So they said, sure, you know, and they picked who they wanted. And I got picked. And I can tell you now, because I just saw it on TV. So there's, I'm not giving anything away. But when you have Dinner Detective, you have the cast that is made up of the detectives. There's two of them. And then there's plants in the audience, which are characters in the script. And they're in amongst the audience, so they don't know who they are. And they're suspects, you know, throughout the show. You know, and just so happens, I wound up being the killer for this show you're going to see if you watch it on Real Housewives. So they, LaToya and one of the other housewives wanted to do a girls' weekend or whatever here in Isle of Palms. And they, one of their things they wanted to do was have Dinner Detective at the mansion to do a Dinner Detective show. And that's how we got the gig. And we had to shorten it and do some other things with it because it was kind of sporadic and they were drinking a lot. We had to change up the script. Yeah. And I just saw it. I was like, they kept it in. I can't believe it. They kept in the part where I'm trying, when I get revealed as the killer, usually the detectives chase me around and then they grab me and pull me out. Well, this night, all the housewives were in between me and the detectives. So I actually had to work my way through them to get to I chased the detectives down. Then they grabbed me and pulled me out. And it worked opposite.
Well, it was really weird. Okay, for those of us who would love to be on a reality show, unfortunately, my favorites are 90 Day Fiancé and Love After Lockup. And I don't plan on being on either of those, but for people who want to be on a reality TV show, how does that differ? I mean, what's the process compared to, say, being on a TV show or a soap opera or a film? What are noticeable differences or things you have to do or not do?
Well, and I think I'm going to disappoint you a little bit because I really don't know the process, because on a reality show is Brian T. Shirley. I'm actually on there as an actor, and I think they even showed my name as Peter on the show. But the subtle differences between, well, there's more than subtle differences. The difference between being on a reality show set, between that and being on a real screen, a real film set, like, you know, a short film, a major film. And I can tell you some of the major sets I've been on, like Outer Banks. I did extra work on Outer Banks, OBX for Netflix, Mr. Mercedes. And I did something that didn't make it to the screen that Jim Belushi was one of the main guys in. But the big difference is that these folks, the housewives, or whoever the subject is for the reality show, is like untouchable. It's you can't say anything about the housewife. There was a scene, and y'all will see it if you watch this, where our first to die, that's what they're called, first to die, the lady runs out with a knife in her side and collapses in front of the housewives in the middle of the floor. Well, you know, normally that's it, you know, then we continue on, but the director came out and said cut, because she got up and said something about you housewives, you know, she was making a joke. So they came out and they were like, no, you can't say anything about the housewives. believe it or not.
Got it. Yeah, well, that's crazy. So, I mean,
yeah,
especially if Nene Leakes gets a hold of your ass. She's going to whoop you up and down. Is she still on the show? You know,
I don't think so.
I think she got.
She was like, they said, I heard two stories. She quit. And then I heard the other story about, no, they forced me off or whatever. There was little drama. Of course, that's all it is. That's the other big thing. It's all drama. I mean, it's all BS drama. I mean,
but how much is real? Because I hear these reality TV shows have become totally scripted, and then some is non-scripted, and then some are partially scripted, or the producer will say, okay, we're going to be at a dinner party. Brian is going to do this, and then you do this to make it more dramatic. Like you get into an argument. So how much is it, not just speaking of this particular one, but from your experience, how much are we getting that's real and percentage wise?
Well, I'll go from my experience on mine and compare that to the one I was on. I did my own called BTS on the Road, where I showed what it was like to be a touring comedian. And I mean, this is very low budget, obviously. And it's, you know, wasn't on any huge channels. It's on a channel now called Spark TV. But here's what I did. Some of it was scripted, as far as I would know who I wanted to talk to or who I wanted to interview or stuff like that. You know, I put it together like that. And then when I'm filming stuff when I'm filming other comics with their permission to put in this thing, that's not scripted. If you think that their act is scripted, then you would say that's scripted, but you know, I'm just filming parts of their act. But when I interviewed club owners, other comedians or other folks, I never told them, say this, 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 and this. You know, I may have said, we're going to talk about this, and then let them, you know, fill in whatever they wanted. But that was my approach. I like that approach to a reality show.
What tips would you give to people who want to get on a reality show? I mean, what exactly would you recommend is the best process? Because, you know, like for actors, you have Actors Access, you have websites that they have gigs and you apply, and if you fit the criteria, you could be on, but that doesn't work for reality TV shows. So,
it's such a different animal though, Priscilla.
Yeah.
It really is, because I've never wanted to, you know, really make that a big thing. I mean, even though I was doing one, if I was going to do a reality show, I have a different vision.
Right.
Of it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
you
I would
just
say
happened
if you,
to luck into it. It wasn't like you
right.
were
oh,
actively
yeah.
it seeking
was,
it out.
Right. Yeah. It was pure luck. But I don't want to deflect your question.
But
I'll tell you what
websites.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I was asked that question. I just said, well, most of these reality TV shows, they have a website and you just submit. That's just, you know, how you do. They'll have a section on their website where you just submit it. And if you fit the criteria, then that's it. You're going to definitely be on. But you know what? I want to move on to this because I can't stand it. All right, let's move on to you as an actor. Let's talk about that music video that you appeared in for the award-winning band Ranky Tanky. Which was called Good Time. Now, I updated the news because they ended up winning a Grammy for Best Regional Roots Album.
Yes.
And that must have been so exciting, right?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, we knew that they were in the running. You know, we knew they were nominated, you know, and we're all watching, not together, but, you know, as individual parts. And, gosh, when they won, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm in a Grammy award winning.
You
gotta be kidding me.
It was you won a Grammy too. You got your imaginary Grammy right over
there. Right. Well, it all goes back to improv and the theory of yes. And what that means is when stuff comes up, say yes. I mean, unless it's just something that you can't really fathom, you know, or it's a nude scene that you don't, you know, something stupid. But, you know, I always try to say, look at something and go, how can I do this? I mean, I'll tell you one thing, and I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea, but I wasn't paid a lot. And that's not the point. That is not the point. And I think that's what a lot of folks out there need to hear. Yes, you actually want to make money at this, and I do. But there are times when you go, I'm going to take a shot at this, you know. And there's I got a hip-hop and a rap video that I'm doing the same thing, although I'm getting paid pretty good on one of them if it comes through. And the other one, I'm getting paid pretty good. But you have to weigh it.
Yeah,
you have to weigh stuff. So here's what happened. I had done the movie that I did to get Good Time from Rinky Tanky isn't even out yet. And that video came out a year and a half ago or whatever it was. It's coming out in May, supposedly, Mark of the Butterfly. COVID screwed with the, it coming out. So what happened was I shot this movie. Then they were looking for people for Good Time, they had a specific thing in mind. Because I play a guy that sent the bill to the club owner, and I'm like looking at my watch going, you got to have this by this time. And the band comes in and plays a benefit, and they raise the money. And I come back later on in the video as the bill collector to get, you know, hey, either you give me the money or I'm shutting you down. And they hand me a big pile of cash. And then I dance because I'm happy.
Yeah.
So that's basically what it is. And
what happened to the band after they won their Grammy? Did it escalate their career? What are they doing now?
Oh, yeah. They just won because three of them are from the College of Charleston here in Charleston, South Carolina. And they just won some prestigious like Lifetime, or these three alumni, and they gave them a big award. And I think that was last week or within a couple of weeks, you know. So it's, oh, yeah, and they were on, and I think they were on this before even they won the Grammy. But after the Grammy, they got, like, USA to, Good Morning America, stuff like that. They were getting shows like that after they won the Grammy.
Careful.
Yeah, and they were all over NPR. They did a live shot for NPR, you know. They're world travelers. They go all over the planet.
I mean, and I like that name too, Rinky Tanky, like honky tonk.
You know what it means? Do you know what that means?
What does it mean?
Okay, Gullah is here in Charleston. The Gullah culture starts from North Carolina, go down to maybe Jacksonville. It runs that coastline, and it's all about, it goes back to slavery days, and it's all about that culture of African Americans that spoke Gullah, which is I don't know if you want to say East Indies, it's like an island culture, and Rinky Tanky, and there's a lot of things in our normal everyday life that we say that goes back to that particular language that people don't even know. And Rinky Tanky is one of the terms that didn't quite make it into our normal language, but it means move, get funky, you know, to talk about moving.
God.
So Rinky Tanky is their little, you know, dance kind of. And that if you listen to the song, it starts off, I want to use it for walk-up music when I'm a comedian. It starts off, good time, we gonna have a time. I mean, it's just boom,
it's
right from the beginning.
It's a fun video.
Yes.
Well, you know, we can see that on your YouTube page, right?
No, it's not on my YouTube because I don't have the rights to it or anything. It's on my homepage for my website.
Okay,
I connected
website.
What I did was I linked it to mine, and nobody's said anything, so I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
but you can go to Rinky Tanky on YouTube.
The last
time I looked at it, it had over 60,000 views.
Oh, my gosh. All right, people, you got to go watch Brian. Watch Brian. And where can we see you? What are you doing in there? You're the bill collector, right? So you got
You'll see me at the beginning after there's a little, you know, intro thing that they do with some local folks. It was really cool, man. I mean, if you listen to the album, the version on the album is different than the video because they do a little extra at the beginning with some slide guitar and some stuff, and they add a flavor at the beginning. And it's really neat. And you watch the beginning, and then it leads into them hitting the song, and then I'm in there about, I don't know, a minute, maybe 30 seconds or a minute after that, doing my delivering the bill. I set up the story. I helped set up the story.
Well, you gotta tell them, hey, what about putting me in your next music video? You gotta do some networking and marketing, get in another one of their videos for another Grammy. Well, you know, that's another question with music videos. A lot of people ask me, how does one get into a music video? So there are many different ways to skin a cat, so to speak. But I always suggest to find out who music supervisors are, because they usually are in charge. They're like the casting director. So sometimes they'll have casting directors. Sometimes they will actually hire a music supervisor because they have a really big contact database. But do you have any tips at all for someone who really wants to be in a music video, other than your luck? You seem to have luck just falls in your lap. But what about the people who are struggling out there? They're like, I want to be in a
movie. And I know you're going, man, he's a terrible guest. He can't answer my damn question.
He can't answer a damn question. No, it's all right. It's fine. Yeah,
no, well, because I'm a type, and you have to become a type. I mean, if I could tell you what the roles are I have in these next two music videos, one, like I said, a rap video and a hip hop, trust me. Yeah. It's almost the same type in each video.
Oh my gosh. And how did you get those? Was that another situation?
One of them is the guy that did Mark of the Butterfly. Benjamin Diamond Films. Chris Carter is behind. He's Benjamin Diamond Films, and he sent me a message. He goes, "Hey, do you want to do this? They need this. They need a slave master and a cop. Do you want to do this?"
And I can said, do it. Okay. Brian's like, I can do it. Yes. Oh my gosh. So there are many different ways. You just have to.
You have to have a type.
You got to have
the look,
the
type,
you know, with casting.
Yeah.
But
you know, try out for everything. You know, if you do see a music video casting, you know, and if you fit into the parameters, go for it, because that's how you get known. Is you get on the sets, you have people, you work with people, directors and casting directors start to get to know you. You're professional. You show up. You're good to work with. You improv if they need you to improv. If you need to stick to the script, you stick to the script. I mean, all the same things you do as an actor and anything. Same with that. But, I've heard and I've seen these things about, well, do you want to be in music videos or do you want to be film or TV? And I know this is going to be faux pas, but I kind of frown upon all that. I'm like, why do I have to pick one or the other?
Yeah.
Why can't I? If I want to do some film, I'll do some film. If I want to do some TV, like the third party, like you just said, it's a proof of concept. We would have finished it to be a pilot, but it was March of 2020 when we were filming. So guess what happened?
Yeah.
So 15 minutes. And if you look at what's going on politically, this is almost like, it's scary that it almost foreshadows stuff because it's about a guy running, and it's not political as far as left or right or any of that crap. It's political as far as just a general look on politics and how it works on the inside. And this guy running for president, and the polling data suggests that if he runs as a third party candidate, he's got a better chance. And then he's got the party, and they don't say what party in this. He's got the party boss calling, going, look, you need to back the candidates. You're not going to be our candidate, but we want you to back ours, you know, the other candidates. So
that's on YouTube, on your website, also on you.
That's on Vimeo. But yeah, you can get to that easy. And if anybody has any issues, they can get in touch with me, BrianTShirley@AOL.com. I will send you the links to these.
You're so funny.
I'm third billed in this. I got lucky. I'm the third bill because I play his chief of staff in this proof of concept. Mm-hmm. So this was a very juicy role for me.
Wow. Well, yeah. We want to see that. Now, let's talk about you as an actor. So let's talk about the short films, Anguish and Ancient Socks. So as you know, I got such a kick out of the title of your first short film entitled Ancient Socks. But here's where I get confused. Okay, so Ancient Socks, did that segue into Two Go In, One Comes Out, a sockumentary? Is it a sequel or is it an updated or edited version of Ancient Socks?
This is actually a sequel, even though it sounds like it'd be before it, because Drew Howard, who helped co-write and produce the first one, had this vision of the second one. So I can't take a lot of credit for it, except now I'm writing the movie. And what it is the first one we asked, what happens when you bring two socks into the dryer and then you try to get them out and there's only one, you know? So this one asks, where did socks come from? And we're hitting every theory, pyramids, Atlantis, you know, Bigfoot, whatever. We're hitting all the this is like a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy theory.
Documentary.
Yes.
Right,
and
exactly.
I love that because I cannot tell you how annoyed people are when they lose the socks in the dryer when two of them went in and one of them comes out. Everybody can relate to this because it's happened to you. I actually get a push pin, and I have a vision board, a cork board, and I will put the sock that's missing the other sock, I put it right on the cork board and then wait for the other one to show up. It's like and I put MIA, I have it titled MIA, missing in action. And eventually they just show up. It's like they're out partying, having a good time, and then they come home when they run out of money. So I know about those socks. I'm very, very, very excited about that. Now, I just wanted to know, I know that originally Ancient Socks was launched on E360 TV, and then the documentary, right? Okay, so there was the channel. Yeah. It was on Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Roku. Is that right?
Well, I believe it's still on E360 TV. You got to go to No Strings Attached E News, their channel on there, or you can go to Spark TV. P-A-R-K-K. That's two K's. Spark TV. And we were number, they have a top 10 every week. They tell you what shows. They have a web series, and now they started doing short films. So they'll tell you who's top 10 between both in views every week. Anguish.
Gotta check this Anguish, out. Oh, man.
This film that... this film that we did earlier this late last year called Anguish, which is a serious film, was number one on their channel for over a month. And then the sockumentary was up in the top 10 for a while, then it disappeared. Now it came back all of a sudden.
Wow. MIA socks keep coming back. Now let's go on to, you've got some upcoming films, Mark of the Butterfly and Treasure Box. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you doing in those? Are you actor, director, writer? What are you doing with those?
Oh, well, Mark of the Butterfly, other people's stuff normally like that, like Mark of the Butterfly and Treasure Box. Mark of the Butterfly by Benjamin Diamond Films. Chris Carter is the director. And then Treasure Box, Felicia Geechee-Wan Rivers is the writer and director of that. I'm acting in the, in most of those that are other people, if not all of them.
Coming out? When are they coming out in
August? They're supposed to be May of this year. And Mark of the Butterfly is about a lady that has lupus, and she's a lawyer running for DA, and she's trying to keep the lupus kind of on the down low because she's afraid that's going to affect her moving on to that position. So this thing is actually tied to the lupus, an American, I forgot what the title of it is, but it's tied to the Lupus Foundation for America or something. They have major connections with these lupus organizations on this film. So we've had to wait and wait and wait to get it put out because of COVID and everything. Now, Treasure Box is locally done, and this Felicia has put out just, she is a monster. She puts out so much work. So she's got an Amazon Prime now. She's on there with a lot of her films. And I'm in one. It's called 100 Bodies. I'm more or less featured background in that. But I worked for Felicia because she was really cool with her actors and everything. And you get a lot of leeway with input with her, you know, and Chris, too, Chris Carter. We've done a lot together, not just that Mark of the Butterfly. We've done his 803 series. There's another thing he wants me to shoot for that. That's a web series. I've done two short films with him, Wrong Guy, and my memory on the other one. But can I tell you about Anguish real quick, though?
Now keep in mind that we got 5 minutes, so I wanted to get in your work about narrator and then your writer. I wanted to talk about the process of becoming an audiobook narrator.
Oh, yeah.
Really want to know how you do that, because everybody's scared that it's a clicky type profession. Tell us about that.
Well, that I watched a ton of YouTube videos on all that. Now, Janice Hermsen, who is the radio host for the show that I'm on, What's the Story, who I believe you and Janice know each other, and I do the BTS Entertainment Corner segment there. She turned me onto a site called IACX, and that is where a ton, if you want to be a audio book narrator, that's where you go, is ACX. But you got to have the good setup, the mic, you know, the good software to edit and all that other stuff. You get on there and you these authors are on there wanting people to narrate their books. Everything I've done so far is a royalty share, which means I don't get anything unless I get paid. But I mean, to me, I believe you got to start somewhere. So that's where I've started. I've got one like you advertise on Audible right now called Wine, but I've got four more that are in their quality control pods right now waiting to get released. And the latest one is really cool. It's called Citizen Kane in American Politics. And when I did that book, I was like, wow, this could be really good if people, you know, really start catching on to this thing. It was really cool. It's like, I think it was around 7,000 or 8,000 words. So it was 55 minutes that I did. That's the longest one I've done so far. I suggest.
So, start small. So A is in apple, C is in cat, X is in xylophone.
Exactly. So ACX.
X.com. Yeah. And would this site provide tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to become an audiobook narrator? Because I have heard some people say, I tried, but it's such an expensive profession because you got to take all these classes and then you got to do your demo and then you got to get them professionally edited. But I say with the software that's available today, you could be able to do all this on your own. So this is a great resource, Brian, acx.com. So check that out, and that'll give you more information. Now, let's talk about you being a and you did the narrator for Wine, and that's actually available now on
Audible.
So go to Audible and type in Wine or Brian T. Shirley, and you'll be able to hear that. I got 2 Audible credits. I'm going to use them up. I didn't know what to use them for, but now we're going to use them for Brian. So real quick, writer, I understand there's a news that's already been picked up on the Quarantine Comics YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah. Wow, you do your homework.
Yes, I do, honey. Aww. And you're also, it's on the AHR Web TV network. And, of course, it's on your YouTube and Vimeo channels, right? So, real quick, what's it about?
It's me as a newscaster, basically a guy I came up with called Tom Montango character. I came up with during the pandemic, and because I was thirsty for doing things. Like, if I'm not creative too long, I get depressed. So I have to do something.
Right.
And I don't know where this damn thing came out of, to be honest. And I just started writing them and shooting them. And all of a sudden, people were like, that's hilarious, you know. But it's not that simple, though. You have to continually take chances, and you have to continually put yourself out there and write, even if it's just stuff that you won't use. And I just saw this video the other day by these Hollywood execs about all this. I watch a lot of that stuff. And they say, you know, write. Just sit down and write. Or if not, at least write in your – sometimes I write in my head, and then I go to the camera – and I know, I don't know why I can do that, but I can write something in my head and go, that's it. And then go to the camera, and it takes me 2 or 3 takes, but I do it. Get it done.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you do with writing. That's what you do with acting. You know, there's times you are asked as an actor, they won't give you a script. And I've had this happen several times. They'll say, do a monologue about this. And then you have to come up with it. And I did that to my nephew, who will be an actor now, who's Killer Christmas too, right now, as a matter of fact. I said,
Killer
all right,
Christmas
you want to be an actor?
Too. Oh, you said Christmas. You know how obsessed I am with Christmas movies. Oh, no, we just got to notice it's time to wrap up. I want to get this in real quick.
Sorry.
Okay. Brian is now, you are now part of a book called 200, or this might be old news. I don't know.
No,
part
it just
of
happened.
A book called
yeah.
200 Comedy Writers and Stand-Ups Walk Into a Book. I love that title. But it's now available. Yeah. And everybody, you'll love this. It's called For Free. It's free on as an ebook, and there is a paperback coming soon. Real quick, like 1 minute. Tell us about that.
That was a guy reached out to me and said, do you want to be in this book? And I can't remember how I met him, but I said, sure. And I put together the stuff he needed, and he put together 200 comedians. That real touring comics that you can see in this book as far as their bio, there's jokes and all this other stuff. So it was really cool to be a part of that.
How to help you become a better comedian, or is it just comedians?
I think it's a combination of exposure for all of us, but then everybody has a funny line in it too. And I think people like to research and see, hey, I saw that guy, or this guy's coming to the club next week. You know, you look at a book and go, oh, okay.
And where can we buy that? Amazon?
I believe so. Although I'd have to send you a link to it, because to be honest, when these things happen, as you know, sometimes we're in the dark about it. Because you know, you're out of the loop. You're in the book, but, and he sends us stuff. He's a good communicator.
If anybody wants to see this, 200 comedy writers and stand-ups,
oh, then go
walk
to
into a
Facebook.
Book. Go
I
to
mean,
go to Amazon and type that
or
in.
Or my website. I have it on my website.
Shirley.com. Yeah. Last question, and then that's it. What advice would you give if you could go back in time when you decided to work in the entertainment industry? That would be helpful to the audience.
I would say network, write, and take care of yourself.
That's right. All right, that's it. I love it. All right, Brian, as always, we start talking. It feels like 5 minutes has gone by. We've already done an hour. Can you believe it?
I know.
Never enough time with you, Brian T. Shirley. Do you know your initials, BTS, is a famous Korean rock, Korean boy band?
I know.
BTS. I love that. All right. Everybody go to Brian's website. It's BrianTShirley.com. He's on Facebook, Twitter at Brian T. Shirley. Please follow him. Give him a little thumb. We all need to support each other, especially in this time of COVID-19. We got to really help each other. So I want you to say goodbye to your fans until next time, Brian, because you know I'll be dragging you back on the show. Say goodbye to all your fans.
Hey, folks, I love the support, man. You keep me going. You really do. And so does people like Priscilla that keeps all of us going.
I'm going to have to do a side gig to stand-up comedy. I said, Brian's the headliner. I'm going to open. But you got to write my jokes because I can't write jokes. But we'll see. Well, Brian, thank you so much, my darling. Let's go to his YouTube channel right now and watch his funny stuff. And make sure you give it a little thumb up and help support Brian T. Shirley. BTS. BTS. Thank you, Brian. Thank everybody who tuned in. And we'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona right here on LA Talk Radio.